Hi, you're listening to the Worship with the Mind podcast with William Gibson. I live off of coffee and books, and I am a follower of Jesus. I hope to inspire thought, open up conversation, and help others see why I believe that our deepest questions about life and meaning find their answer in the person of Jesus. This is part 4 of the Attitudes of Being series, talking about the Beatitudes, and today we'll be looking at Matthew 5, verse 6. And it says this in the Amplified: "Blessed, joyful, nourished by God's goodness, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who actively seek right standing with God, for they will be completely satisfied." The title of today's message would be Nourishment and Fullness. Have you ever had a desire or strong craving for a food that you just couldn't shake? Within the first few months of me being a Christian, I remember being on a hiking holiday in the Swiss Alps. We're about to embark on our second hike of the trip, climbing to a mere 3,000 meters above sea level. Before we began, we had a very large lunch, and being young and unwise, the majority of us decided that this would be enough to last us a journey until we reached the mountain hut at the top, where food would await us. You may have guessed already, but we were wrong. The hike was much steeper than anticipated, and about halfway up, the grumbling began. The imagined mental images of what potential mouth-watering dish would await us at the top of the mountain began. I remember clearly my craving at that point in time. For any who know me, you will know that my favourite Italian dish is carbonara, and that was my craving. We continued the hike, and the hunger increased. I remember praying for carbonara with all the faith that I could muster. I was a young Christian who didn't know much about God or prayer, but all I know is that when I reached the top of that mountain, my prayer appeared to be answered. Carbonara awaited. Is that coincidence? Maybe, but that's not the point of the story. The carbonara was mediocre, but the craving and hunger for it was so strong that I came away from that meal feeling satisfied. That is often the case. The stronger the hunger or thirst, the greater the satisfaction when the desire is fulfilled. The satisfaction is even greater when the thing that satisfies us is nourishing. So to take my carbonara example, the satisfaction would have been even greater if the carbonara was from my favourite Italian restaurant and made with top quality ingredients. In Matthew 5 and verse 6, the word hunger in Greek means to toil for daily sustenance, to be starving or to crave. I can relate to that on a certain level with food. It's slightly different when it comes to God. God is an appetite that is naturally there in every human, but is one that is often subdued. In the same way that our desire for nourishing food is never satisfied when we continuously eat junk food, it's just subdued. When we put other things and people in God's place, our appetite is not satisfied, but subdued, to the point where we can actually live most of our lives and ignore it. How do we regain that craving, that hunger and desire for God? Well, if you've ever been a student, then you can probably relate to the idea of the student diet, looking for the cheapest thing that meets your necessary calorie count, but never actually satisfying. You end up in a conversation with friends about your mum or grandparents cooking, and what do you know, your mouth begins to water. The appetite is awakened. You go home for Christmas holidays and your craving is fulfilled. And at that moment, you feel the nourishment and satisfaction permeate your carb and sugar-filled body. Food is one of the main ways that we commune with others or communicate with each other, whether it be our hunter-gatherer days as a species, the delight in partaking in a meal that you helped work for, or the family dinner on Christmas Day. So back to the question, how do we regain the craving for God? It takes a moment of us meeting with other people who acknowledge the desire is there, and talking of what it is like to be satisfied with Him being God. It takes purposeful community where we enjoy the fulfillment of our hunger for God together. God put two institutions on the earth to help facilitate that role of stimulating and nurturing that hunger for God, the church and the family. In the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments are split into what you'd refer to as horizontal laws, which relate to our relationships with others, and vertical laws, which relate to our relationship with God. One of the commandments that may surprise you is the commandment to honour your father and mother. It's a vertical commandment. The parent's role in the Old Testament was the human reflection of God to a child. No wonder that the Apostle Paul talks about marriage as an analogy for Christ and the church in Ephesians 5. When we are part of a family, and especially a church family, that is where our desire for God is stirred, and we wait together for God to fulfill that hunger. This beatitude in verse 6 describes the people who hunger and thirst for righteousness as those who actively seek right standing with God. And this is the first step in coming to a place of finding our desire for God satisfied. There's an amazing paradox within Christianity that we can't do anything to gain God's favour or to earn salvation by our own works. But most often, the only time we truly come to put faith in God is through trying our hardest and realizing that we don't measure up. As C.S. Lewis put it, we cannot discover our failure to keep God's law except by trying our very hardest and then failing. Unless we really try, whatever we say, there will always be at the back of our minds the idea that if we try harder, the next time we shall succeed in being completely good. Thus, in one sense, the road back to God is a road of moral effort, of trying harder and harder. But in another sense, it is not trying that is ever going to bring us home. All this trying leads up to the vital moment at which you turn to God and say, "You must do this. I can't." God has put within us a desire for Him. And as we come into community with others who recognize that we have that desire, what happens is that our craving for Him grows. The more we talk about Him together and His righteousness, His kingdom, that desire, that craving grows. And our first and our natural response is to run with all of our strength, only to realize that our efforts are not what lead to the right standing with God. When we reach that place where our hunger is so strong and our efforts have run out, that's where the satisfaction comes. We gain the knowledge that our right standing with God is only afforded to us because of Jesus. Our hearts become rested as we learn that we are seated with Him in heavenly places. The word to be satisfied or filled in verse 6 in Greek means to gorge and to supply food in abundance. It's kind of like sitting down for a home-cooked meal for the first time in a long time, but better, because the meal never ends. We have eternal rest and satisfaction in the redeeming work of Jesus that fulfills our hunger and our desire for God. It is nourishment and it is fullness for our souls.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.